welcome again to the Tradescast, a podcast dedicated to everything in the world of entertainment. For your enjoyment, I'm Jeff Favre.
And I'm Tom Moss, and this is the Tradescast for the week of November 3rd. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Tom. Now, this is an interesting month, I always think, because the movie cycle is so weird. Like, we know January and February movies, for the most part, are kind of dumping ground movies. And then September is kind of a, like, we don't know what to put there yet. And then October is kind of creeping in. And then November, we get the kind of the Oscar movies, usually. Not always. Sometimes they're a little earlier. And obviously they go into December. And then we have that weird thing at the end where you and I and some people in New York can see see movies the last week of December. So they get out in time, but they don't really show up until January, but they're December releases. Tell me, Tom, do you think that when a film is released does affect its chance for awards?
You know, it seems to. I mean, we can probably think of some examples, but have you seen any research on the number of Academy Awards that go to December releases?
I mean, I used to look this up, and I'll tell you, a very, very few films not released in October, November, December win.
You know, now the common wisdom, I mean, on one hand, you know, they release the movies when they're more likely to be present in the voters' minds. But then they are also releasing their most Oscar-worthy, likely movies at that time. So it's a, you know, maybe a chicken and egg or a correlation, not causation thing. It may be difficult to tell. But certainly releasing movies after August, after September, when kids are back in school, after warm weather, I mean, certainly that makes a difference, because I'm sure that the attendance in theaters has gone up over the last few weeks, right?
Right, absolutely. And I'm sure before recent times, the Oscars did not work this way. I've never looked back in later times, I am sure, back then, because films had much longer runs. And people talked about them, and I don't think it worked the way that it does now. But I'll give you an example, okay? We're talking about Oscar-related films. A film that came out a little while ago that people talked about and liked very much was The Butler. Am I correct?
That is correct, sir.
Been out about, what, about 6-7 weeks? I can't remember now. But it's been out a little while.
Sometime between that and 2 years. I don't know which.
Right. It may have come out in the 50s. I think it was actually a 50s movie. Isn't it one of those things where it's like there was a lot of talk, people really liked the performances, it was a lead performance in there people liked very much, but has anybody been talking about it this week, or will they talk about it next week? Will people even remember it come January?
No, but won't there also then be a huge marketing campaign? Is it likely to be re-released? I mean, that happens sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. But so let's take it to the big film. The film that looks like an early front runner for a lot of awards is Gravity. Gravity it has the rarity these days of huge numbers in terms of critics liking it and big box office, right? So, and it's attracting an older audience, but a large older audience, and that's where our voters tend to come. But did it come out a little too early? When Scorsese's movie comes out, when people see Dallas Buyers Club, when people see Spike Jonze's movie, when people see this film Nebraska, the new Alexander Payne film, when these movies come out, and there's a few other ones, do they kind of just push Gravity away from the voter's mind? Or does it have too long for people to say, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe it wasn't as great as we thought so originally?
Now, are we talking Best Picture? Is that
we're talking Best Picture. Okay. The performances, I think, usually, I've seen earlier performances where someone would just be blown away, and that person can't hold up. But again, you can have a Forest Whitaker or someone who people are loving early, and then after a little while, people forget about it. It does happen.
Well, there may be some method to the madness here. I mean, I don't want to overestimate the intelligence of any of the marketers, but let's for a moment assume that they know what they're doing. Gravity, if we're talking Best Picture, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, I think it was a great time, a beautiful thing to look at, but let's be honest, it was not a great story. I mean, it was not a great movie. just once you strip away all of the effects, which isn't to say that it was bad. It just wasn't Oscar worthy. Was it released the time that it was? Because they knew that it might get a little initial buzz, marketing buzz to get the numbers up, but it's not going to be a contender once you put it against all of those movies that you listed.
Are you sure? The critics love it.
Sure.
Now, look, I'll give you an example. 12 Years a Slave right now could be a front runner for Best Actor, would you say? Also probably a lock for one of the 10, now we have 10 spots for Best Film. Would you say it's in both those categories?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a really good movie. But if you just look at the plot of the thing and the acting, it just doesn't seem to stack up.
Oh, you're talking about Gravity, but I'm going to talk about 12 Years a Slave for a sec.
Okay.
Do you think this film, probably a lock for a Best Actor nomination and a Best Movie nomination?
Oh, I would say so, sure.
Right. So right now I think it probably does, but what it will never have that Gravity has is a $200+ million box office. And don't you think when the film usually combines both of those things that it becomes the front runner?
Maybe. I would have to look at some of the numbers. It could well be. It could well be. But look, I mean, the thing is, we've got 10 spots. Gravity will certainly have a place among them. 12 Years a Slave certainly will. But so will all those movies. And don't the Coen brothers have a movie coming out?
Well, we were just talking about that. It's been so long since they've had a movie coming out. I've kind of lost track of them. They used to bring one out like clockwork.
Yeah, they've got a few in production, in post-production, or at least one in post-production, I think. I'm not sure when the release is.
Well, here's another. Right. They all will. And Captain Phillips is another example, right? Early love for Captain Phillips, but then scrutiny on Captain Phillips over its veracity, or, you know, was it too much an embellishment? Will it get hurt because it came out a little early, as opposed to, say, Scorsese's got a movie that's going to come out on Christmas Day, right? So it can blow people away, and then all of a sudden it's time to vote.
It could be. I wouldn't want to put too much stock on that. We need to go back and look at the winners and what their release dates were. I mean, certainly it helps. I mean, certainly that's the strategy. But I just don't know in the end that it really makes that much difference. And also, don't forget, Jeff, we're assuming that there is any sort of justice to these awards, which is, of course, not the case.
Right. Actually, I think there's no justice to these awards. But I remember last year, you remember how the talk about Lincoln kind of ebbed and flowed over the months? It was like, Lincoln, incredible, gonna win this. Then it kind of just faded. Then it was like, no, actor. It should just win actor.
right, exactly.
So I am really curious, and I'll tell you that the film that I'm intrigued about is Her. And the reason is it's Spike Jonze. And Spike Jonze, like Charlie Kaufman, like Paul Thomas Anderson, not many other directors I can name, could make more movies, but they just don't. This is his fourth movie in about 50 years. And are you more excited to see a film by a director who rarely makes one that you kind of admire because you think, hey, he or she wouldn't put it out unless they really loved it? Or are you kind of the Woody Allen group, which, again, by the way, he's probably going to get nominated again for a Best Picture in what is maybe his biggest grossing movie to date. Do you like that kind of guy who's just like, I'm going to keep making movies all the time? Or do you like the guy who says, I'll make it when I feel like it?
Well, you know, I think you got Woody Allen on one end of the spectrum that churns out movies that probably, in most cases, could have used a few more months to bake. Then the other end of the spectrum, you got people like, what, Terrence Malick? Is he the poster child? Although he's picked up pace in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's actually made two movies in the past few years.
I know. He was like 25 years off, and now he's made two or three movies. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, if the director's got something to say every year, then great, bring it on. I mean, the Coen brothers put out movies on a pretty regular basis, and they're always interesting. I can't say Woody Allen's movies are always interesting, but you know, on the other hand, you got to kind of respect his work ethic. And respect and Woody Allen in the same breath.
Well, it is interesting. I think there's a middle ground in there somewhere, because when you are like Spike Jonze and you never make them, unless people are completely blown away, then all they think is, where you been all my life? I mean, where you been? And Paul Thomas Anderson has actually addressed this, my favorite director, who has said, I know I've been taking too long. Watch, I'm going to make a few more quickly. And I believe he has one coming out next year. So for him, that's like rapid fire. So, But Tom, let's keep tracking this over the next couple of months and see the ebb and flow and what is the favorite. Next week, let's look at what the early predictors are for the favorites and see if it changes over time.
Well, you know, I just looked it up as a maybe way to close out this conversation. Argo, which was the winner last year, released in October.
Right, right. And it was funny because the ebb and flow worked for it because it started a little soft and then grew and grew and grew.
And remember the issues about the veracity of that story as well.
Right, but then over time, people started to look at it again and just loved it as a film. So it's interesting. I wanted to talk briefly about kind of just the TV world. You know, I said there'd be more shows canceled, and I think ABC had a sitcom canceled. It's back in the game that no one paid any attention to at all. But what always intrigues me are how they decide what cancels and what stays. For example, this Goldberg show, which I find to be a really unpleasant show, has gotten picked up for a full season, and it looks to me like it's going to get renewed.
You know, I've watched a couple of episodes of that. I like Jeff Garland. I can't help it.
Me too.
You know, it's set in the 80s, and Jeff, except for some nods at costumes and a few sort of pop culture-y, kitschy references, you wouldn't know that. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, they didn't do it right, and almost no one ever does. No one ever gets the feel of it right. They either just rely on easy jokes, or they don't do anything. They don't get the feel for it. But also, I think the show ultimately isn't very funny. But I'll tell you something. Super Fun Night, which has gotten an order for a few more episodes, I don't think it's going to make it past this season. I think that they are not high on it from what I've been reading. But the numbers are basically the same. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Isn't it fascinating sometimes when you look at the actual numbers, even on the same network, they'll be roughly the same, that 18 to 49-year-old demographic. And yet one will make it and one won't. And you have to wonder, it's like, is it just one person in the behind the scenes saying, I like this show or I don't like this show?
It could be. And I would imagine it's like so many things in, you know, all of our various workplaces. There's a lot of things that go into it. I mean, what does it take for a company to get behind a show? They've got a lot invested in it. They've got a lot invested in the star. They've made some promise to somebody somewhere along the line. And it could be for just really good, honest reasons that they like the show and they want to give it some time to spread out. And, you know, we always go back and mention Seinfeld when we have this conversation as a show that really took a long time to find its feet. I think Cheers was actually the same way.
Oh, yeah. So was Family Ties. There was a lot of shows that became NBC hits, but they don't really wait anymore, I don't think. But I'll give you an example of a show that we should be watching. Not a show we should be watching. It's not funny. But a show we should be paying attention to is Mom on CBS because the show's numbers are a little soft, but I'm curious to see if CBS gives it a little bit of time to see if it will grow.
Why should they? What's the story?
Well, why should they give it time? It's not a funny show. It has really good actors on the show, but I really don't think it's a show that, I mean, Anna Faris and Allison Janney are wasted in this show. And I just feel like it doesn't have it. But I do know that if you put a show near shows people are watching for a while, eventually people start watching it. Now, you and I have discussed this many times. How does that still work, considering that there is no, quote, appointment television other than sports? But it does seem to work. If you just let it sit there and marinate in the right time slot, it still can grow an audience.
Well, perhaps they will. Where is it?
God, I can't even remember now. I think it's still on Mondays, but it's a show that I am not. I watched it twice, and again, I didn't watch it during the time. I watched it on my own, and I did not find it interesting. I'm not finding any of the new CBS shows interesting.
I'm not finding any sitcom interesting much anymore. I don't know why. I don't know if it's me, if it's the other opportunities that I have to watch things that I choose to, and I tend to think that might be it.
Well, you know, we keep talking about not really making appointments for television, just wanting it on demand. And I saw there was this story about CBS developing a streaming news channel. What do you think about this? Do you think this is a smart idea for CBS?
Well, a long time ago, and periodically since, we talked about this idea of apps, you know, how apps on your iPhone give you all these different functions that you can customize, and that there will be some concept of apps in the delivery of media. And we've started to see that happen over the last year. And I think this is, you know, we always talk about the next step, and this is the next step because, Jeff, you mentioned sports, but also news is appointment TV. If something's happening in the world, then you want to go to somewhere live and see something about it and somewhere reliable. So why not have a streaming news app that was live? I don't know if this app is going to have live content to start. They are not doing a full rollout like MSNBC, where they have a complete news production team that's behind this. It's going to be repackaged stuff from other platforms. But it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think the next thing that we're going to see somewhere is the sports app, live sports app. And right. I know we did see that with the Olympics, but, you know, I think for a continuing ongoing service.
I think you're right. And I think CBS, I think several people will be following this, and they'll be following it very soon. And it will be a slow rollout in terms of how much new content there'll be. I mean, obviously a lot of repackaged content, but I definitely think it's going to take off. Because again, when do you have to sit down in front of the TV, quote, have to? It's sports or it's something that's breaking. Those things are happening. That's when people run to the TV or run to the computer. But if they want to see, even if it's nothing but a guy standing outside somewhere in Boston saying, we think the guy is back in there somewhere, you know, for 4 hours, they still run to the TV for that first. But don't right. you see that we're a few years away from that not being the thing they run to when they can get it streamed just as it's happening?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think that's already a lot of people are doing that. I find myself doing that the other day when there was that shooting at LAX. I reached for my phone first and went to CNN and then New York Times and a few other places. Why not go to a live streaming service if you've got that available?
Right. Yeah, you know, we talk about Saturday Night Live every so often on the podcast, and we kind of took them to task, like everyone did, for having a lack of diversity on the show. What did you think of them making fun of themselves for having, you know, very little diversity and no black women in the cast?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the only game, only play they have, really. You know, Kerry Washington was the guest. I haven't seen it yet, but
just it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, and they did a nice job of. I like it when they make fun of themselves. I feel like that's at least admitting that they've got something going on. But at the same time, I know their idea is let's make fun of it and diffuse it and move on. But it doesn't really change the situation.
No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, it's just. You know, the problem doesn't go away. I mean, it's a problem that's going to have to take some action to deal with, and people are going to have to move on. And they will. I mean, there's no way that they're not going to get an African American woman on that cast in the next go around, and maybe even sooner. Who knows? But it's a shame that they have to. It has to come to this. But you know, it's not that uncommon either. So you know, there's that.
Right. I hope that this is not just their way of diffusing it and moving on. They certainly have a cast of people that I think are mostly forgettable, actually. And so why not have some diversity in there as well? If you're not going to – there's no one in there that I'm looking at right now thinking it's going to be a huge movie star. So let's at least get quality people who can represent different – different characters.
You know, if they had some races. Diversity, at least between people who are funny and people who are not funny, that I would even settle for.
That would be great. They could, yeah. You mean like have some funny people on the show? That would be awesome.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah.
Now, I am curious to see how this FXX actually plays out over time. But they have made a deal, it looks like, with Sacha Baron Cohen to air unaired episodes stateside of the Ali G Show. Do you think that makes a lot of sense? Like, do you think that Sacha Baron Cohen is still someone, because he's still considered so edgy, and that show made him star, that that's like a nice little way to get some content that's already there, that has a lot of buzz, that that's kind of a nice way to get their kind of get their ball rolling well?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I kind of have the same feeling that I do when I see Absolutely Fabulous on BBC America. I mean, it was a great show. I really enjoyed it in the 90s. And I think Ali G is the same way. So Sacha Baron Cohen has definitely moved on from this shtick. And I just wonder what they're after. I guess they can introduce this to a whole new crop of adolescent boys and build a network around it. It seems like a curious move on one hand. On the other hand, why not?
Yeah, also, they're trying to work with him. They're looking for new content from him. The FX, they're looking for, FX Productions is looking for something new out of him. And I think that this is a way of basically saying, let's boost him up a little bit. Let's see if it helps us some and see if it works. Do you think he's the kind of guy who that we're going to continue to see breaking or cutting edge material for the next decade? Or do you feel like he's kind of hit the peak of that and will probably go in a different direction, being a more serious actor? Or do you think this is just, he'll only ever really make it as this kind of outlandish guy?
I don't know. But my sense is, just from watching his career over the past, 7 or 8 years, that it's definitely moving in that direction. I mean, between Borat and then I'm not going to be able to remember all the characters' names. Each movie had diminishing returns. And what was that last movie he did in character, the General or whatever?
Right, the Dictator, or what was it called? I can't even remember, but boy, it did not do well.
No, not at all. But then he showed up in some interesting movies. I mean, he was in Sweeney Todd, he was in a few others.
Hugo.
There you go. As a character actor. So I guess the next great leap for him would be to carry a movie on his own as an actor, lest he end up with Johnny Depp's career. And I guess there are worse careers to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can't do it, you just make another Ron Burgundy movie. I mean, there are times you have to realize that maybe people only want to see you doing a certain thing, and you can't break out of it. Maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. Somebody who had a hard time with that, and I thought we'd end with this tonight, is Marshall Wallace. Marshall Wallace, to anybody our age, was always known as the woman from the Bob Newhart Show, right? And she was very funny and loved her, but she did not have much of a career after the Bob Newhart Show. It was mostly because she got pigeonholed in that one role. And it wasn't until The Simpsons basically made her kind of the other star of the animated voice of the voices there as Mrs. Krabappel, that she kind of came back and had a new life. And she died this past week. And it's funny. When you think of her, do you think of her as the Bob Newhart Show, or do you think of her from The Simpsons?
Oh, I definitely Bob Newhart. And it was so surprising when I saw that her death was confirmed by who was it, Al Jean from the
right.
From The Simpsons. I'm like, well, why? And then it took me a while to realize, a second anyway. But yeah, she was always going to be Carol from the Bob Newhart Show. But I am definitely dating myself with that sense.
Yeah, she had an interesting career after that. She did some musical theater and she'd show up on shows sometime. But it's one of those things. Do you think it's? I guess it's not a matter of fair, but does it surprise you sometimes that certain actors just can never escape a certain role? It's rarely in film. It's usually in television. But if they do a role on television for a little while, even if it's as short as a couple of years, like Batman, like Adam West could never escape Batman. And in fact, if it wasn't for Family Guy, where he gets to now play himself, basically a weird version of himself, he would never have found anything steady.
Yeah, it does surprise me. I mean, it's it's a little disappointing, but I guess you know, we shouldn't be surprised, because if we're looking for imaginative people that can picture a character outside of the parts that they've had in the past, we're probably looking in the wrong place in Hollywood.
Right, I guess that's true. But she is very funny, and if you were not a Bob Newhart show fan, the original Bob Newhart, go back and watch some of the episodes, because believe it or not, although the fashions are insanely 70s, it holds up, Tom. It holds up really well. I would say as well as almost any of the 70s shows. You can still draw a straight line from that show to some of the sitcoms that are popular today. They had really good chemistry on that show.
Well, that's exactly right. They're all available on Hulu Plus, by the way. And like we've said here before, Jeff, you can take any concept and any situation. If you have good characters, good relationships between those characters, and good writing, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you pitch this show today, you could pitch it 10 years from now. It would still have that chemistry. If you had that chemistry, it would be a success.
Right. Well, Tom, Tom will be back in a couple of weeks, and Tom, I want to go over some of the Oscar films as they start to heat up, and we'll see which ones are box office hits, or if everything is basically just going to get destroyed by Thor and The Hunger Games, which will dominate, and The Hobbit, dominate the box office for the next couple of months. But there'll be a lot of Oscar films out there worthy of going to the theater. We'll see which TV shows get canceled for the end of the new year. That's lovely to get a pink slip there. And Gene will be back next week to talk about some other things going on in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. So for Tom, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.